Hello, today we have a special guest, Joachim Damström.
Hello, hello.
Did I say that right? Joachim.
Yes, perfect.
So we are here in Helsinki. You are visiting us.
Yes, yeah, I came to visit my parents who live here now full time.
Oh, cool.
They used to live half in the US and half in Finland.
Ah.
They would come every May, they would come to Finland and come home back to the States back in September. But now they're here all the time. So to see them, we have to come here.
Yeah, of course. And where were you born?
Here in Helsinki.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yes, I am a Finn.
How much Finnish do you speak?
Very little.
Oh.
I could fit it in a small paper bag. Too little. I need to learn some Finnish.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So where do you live now?
I live in Seattle.
Wow.
In a suburb of Seattle. Yeah. It's nice up there.
So I heard that you are registered for Bigfoot 200.
Yes. Yeah, and I was registered last year too, but I had an injury, so they let me postpone 1 year. So, yes, Bigfoot. It's a big, scary race.
So you have never done any of that before, have you?
No, I've been a pacer on it 3 times.
Okay, so you know, and you know the course pretty
well.
Yeah,
I know the same sections of the course towards the end really well.
And there are some nice mountains there.
There are some nice mountains. Yeah, we start, the race starts at the Mount St. Helens, which in 1980 was the volcano that blew, which was amazing.
Oh, it had an eruption.
Yeah, May 1980.
Really?
The mountain that used to be over 9,000 feet was reduced to just under 8,000 feet.
That's too bad.
And the race goes around and then through the blast zone.
I hope amazing. They won't have another.
Let's hope.
Next year.
Let's hope. It's still active, but it's quiet. So.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
This will be exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for asking me to join you for the race, but I decided not to participate. It's too hard for me anyway.
Well, never know. You do hard things, so.
Yeah, I like to do hard things, so I'm sure that would be really hard.
Yeah.
But I have looked at the race route and profile, so it's not going to be easy.
No, not exactly, no.
So I have tried Tahoe 200 twice and I have never finished it. So
yes.
I thought that I cannot finish that one either.
There's a race like that I've gone out and tried a few times called Plain 100, also in Washington State.
Oh.
And I've only finished it once, and then I've also not finished it 2 other times and then not showed up 1 other time. So I don't have a very good record there either.
But what is your background? What races have you finished and what kind of running background do you have?
So I've always, growing up, I've run off and on just for training.
Yeah.
I was introduced to hiking at a young age, so lots of time in the mountains on trails.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was in high school, a friend of mine started taking me climbing, a Finnish friend, Esko. And so then we started climbing mountains together, and so I would run just for training.
Great.
Yeah, and it was never anything beyond just kind of getting in shape. But then I tried my first marathon in like 2006, maybe 2005, and I thought, wow, this is really nice. And then I didn't run any marathons for a while, and then in 2013 I ran 2 in the fall, and I thought, oh, this is great. But then a friend of mine decided to teach me the ways of trail running. He said, you need to get off the pavement, you need to run on trails. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yes. So in 2015 I ran my first ultra, a 50K.
Okay, on the West Coast.
On the West Coast, in Washington still.
Oh,
yeah. A race called Chuckanut 50K. It's up north.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think I'm reading all about all the races, and yeah. I read a lot. I'm a reader, but I had never been there, but I... And also on YouTube or somewhere,
yeah, yeah.
I think I'm just interested in all kinds of... I'm thinking maybe I should go there someday.
You should.
Yeah, I know all the races. I have heard about them, but I have not done.
Yeah.
Except Western States I have done, but not much else.
Yeah, the race director, there's a newer race director, and I forget her name, but she's a very accomplished runner who's the current race director. The name's leaving me now, but...
Okay, maybe later it will come to you.
Yeah, yeah, so my first introduction was a 50K, and then I ran... That same year, I probably ran six more 50Ks.
Whoa, you really...
That first summer, I ran my first 50-miler. So I kind of had a steep climb, but I managed to keep going, and it was just incredible. And I kept setting my sights higher and higher. So then eventually, I think in 2017, I ran my first 100-miler.
Yeah. And was it still fun?
Oh, absolutely. It was different. I felt like you didn't have to run so fast, which was really nice.
Yeah, you get more time, you can go slower.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah.
And now 200 miles, even slower.
In theory, even slower. But I find that sometimes the distance doesn't match how much slower I need to go. And so I think I'm just getting slower.
Yeah, you never, 100 or 200 miles, you never know what's going to happen anyway. So
no.
You can have a plan, but then when you get hit in the face, like Mike Tyson used to say, that you will have to have a plan B.
Yes, yes, constantly.
Yeah.
Everything's changing all the time.
And weather... I'm sure it's raining a lot in Washington.
Yes, almost all the time.
Almost all the time.
Well, maybe not in summer so much, but yeah, rain is common.
So you need a really good rain gear
yes.
there.
Yes, rain gear is key. Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I'm doing a race in England in April, so... They also said that they cannot guarantee sunshine every day.
No.
In April.
In England, no.
In Northern England.
This isn't... Are you doing the spine race?
No, it's... spine race is from south to north.
Okay.
But this is from west to east.
Oh.
Like it's 300K from west coast to east coast.
Wow.
Just below Scotland.
Okay.
Like... On UK side, but
okay.
Or England side, but
wow.
It's not far away from Scotland, so it's I have never been there,
okay.
So we'll see. But they said that expect to get your feet wet 1 or 2 days.
I'm sure, especially if you're anywhere near Scotland, you're gonna get wet.
Yeah, yeah, all those books and
yes,
mud and whatever they, we'll see.
The North Sea is close by.
Is Washington State also muddy and?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots
so
of.
So what kind of, I'm just interested,
mm-hmm.
How do you keep your feet in condition? Do you have some waterproof gear, shoes or socks or whatever?
I don't, but wool seems to be really good. Running in wool socks when the weather is poor, yeah.
Oh.
Because they stay warm even if they're wet, so that seems to help.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that...
And do you change them often?
On a longer race, yes, for
yeah.
sure. Changes of socks are really
every
important.
50K or
yeah,
100K.
That. Yeah, change of
yeah.
socks is really nice. Some people even change shoes, but I don't seem to change the shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, socks, that's the key to taking care of the feet, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. And Just, do you run in shorts or do you also have rain pants?
I generally always run in shorts. It's probably the fit in me, but I pants seem to be too warm all the time.
I think it's an American thing that everybody wants to run in shorts, because I have seen so many photographs on Instagram that
everybody's
people
in
are
shorts.
Like running on Mount Everest or something, and
still in
everybody
shorts.
Else is having like lots of clothes, and Americans have shorts and t-shirts.
It could be the American way, it's true.
Maybe some sandals.
Yeah. I carry pants for sure, at least wind or rain pants. That's
cool. Yeah, and in some races you have to carry.
Yeah.
Obligatory gear.
Yeah, kind of the required kit. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to wear them, but you have to carry.
You have to carry.
Yeah, just in case.
Like Candace Bird's race, I think you have to have
in
your
kit. Yeah.
Pants or tights or both. I can't remember, but.
Although.
Yeah.
They didn't check any.
No. How shocking.
Just, yeah. But I'm sure I had everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they didn't check.
You know, that one of the years I paced at Bigfoot, this was, I think, this must have been 2022, it wasn't this past year, and a friend of mine, Helgi Olofsson, who I had you look for at Tahoe, anyway, I paced him the last, I think it was the last 50K or 75K or something.
Okay.
And the weather was good until then, and then it changed, and the weather got really cold, so it was probably less than 10 Celsius. And in that section, they had not done any trail maintenance.
Oh.
And we must have had to step over and climb over like 40 trees that were laying across the trail. And no extra time was given.
Yeah, of course.
People were pissed off. People were pissed off, so it's crazy. So it's that sort of thing, you know, that's sort of Candace's way, like, well,
yeah.
It's gonna
when
be
you
hard.
Sign the paper,
yeah.
You give all rights to them.
Yes.
You cannot make any claims.
Yeah.
You just have to smile and be happy.
That's right.
Whatever happens.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I get lost, if I get hurt, or if I die, it's my own damn fault.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they force us to say before the start.
Every race of hers is the same way. Yeah.
If you get lost, everybody was laughing when we were starting and saying that if you get hurt, lost, or die, it's your own damn fault. But after one day, I wasn't laughing anymore because I had to DNF.
Yeah. It's serious out there.
Yeah, yeah. It's really can be dangerous sometimes when the weather changes or something happens.
Absolutely.
If you fall down or something.
Absolutely.
It's a danger, but all sports are like that, are dangerous. And you have to know what you are doing.
Yeah.
And pace yourself and, you know, take care of yourself.
Yep.
Like in Tour de Géant, it's the same. That
is
really dangerous. So you really have to know how to move on the mountains safely.
Yeah. I'm sure there were some big areas that had big consequences. If you fell. I mean, I think Bigfoot
really steep trails that if you fall on the right hand side, you will fall a long way, and then the other side there's a mountain wall. So you just had to make sure that you are not making any mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So when are you gonna do some races here in Europe, like Tour de Géant or UTMB? Are you planning those?
I haven't planned anything in Europe. I think the most likely would be coming back for Nuuts again and running up in Lapland.
Ah.
Yeah.
I was thinking of doing Nuuts 300K 2024 in July. So, that's where we met. I saw you first time. You were running the 100-mile race.
Yes, that's true.
Nuuts Ylläs Pallas, 160 kilometers.
Kyllä.
Yeah, yeah. I was a safety runner there.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how we met.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you tried to convince me to continue, but...
Yeah, of course.
I'd had a good day, and my family was there, so I thought, well, I think that's enough.
I wasn't tracking you or anything.
But
I think I asked if you would like to continue, that we could run together, but no.
Yeah.
You had enough.
Yep, I had had enough. I thought,
and the time was pretty.
I was
close.
Yeah, it was very close.
Yeah.
Back of the pack.
Yeah.
As they say in the States.
Yeah. And how about the mosquitoes? Do you have those where you live?
In comparison, we don't have mosquitoes.
Not as much.
No, Lapland has real mosquitoes.
Yeah. They have lots of mosquitoes and big ones.
Yes.
And angry ones.
I remember at one point during the race, I sat down and had a break, and I had my rain pants on and my raincoat on and my mosquito hat on. And I just sat there and listened, and it sounded like I was sitting in the pouring rain, but it was all the mosquitoes bouncing off my clothes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And they will go after you.
Oh, yes.
They're amazing. Sometimes you have to eat or something, and they will try to get in your mouth and nose and everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know how that season compared to regular seasons up there, but I thought there were plenty of mosquitoes.
Yeah, but it's not always the same. It's like weather changes. Also, the mosquitoes. Sometimes I have been there, and there have been no mosquitoes at all on certain days.
Yeah.
Depending on, I don't know why, but sometimes they go away but then they have those horse flies or something.
Yeah.
They always have something, some bugs,
yes.
But not mosquitoes.
Yeah, but even in parts of the fell, when we were up high on the fell, there were none at certain times. But
I think they follow the reindeers.
They do.
Or something.
They seem to.
Or something like that.
Yeah, so lots of bugs.
They're not interested in runners, trail runners, but they just take us if there are no reindeers.
Yes.
They will accept our blood as well.
But you know, I think if I spent more time up in Lapland, I'd become more used to them. There were lots of runners that had just shorts on, and it was not a big deal.
They piss me off, or they bother me. I don't like them, but... After the race, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't get any infections or anything.
Yeah.
But after a couple of days, it's all normal.
Yeah.
But maybe one or two days, your skin might be a little itchy or something if you get bitten like a million times.
Yes. Yeah, I think I had, above each elbow, I had probably 30 or 40 bites or something.
Yeah, easily.
But you don't itch them, and then a couple of days, they're gone.
Yeah. After 100, I stop counting. It's so many.
Yeah, but it was an amazing landscape. That's what drew me to that race, was just running.
So you did like the landscape?
I loved it.
The fells are like... They are not so steep, but they are nice.
The open sky and the weather was fantastic, so you could see forever.
And did you see the midnight sun?
Yes.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Yes.
If there are no clouds, especially, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Running through the... You didn't need any headlamp, right?
No.
Never. Yeah. Yeah.
Not once. The sun just sort of went around the fell, and then it was around the other side.
And you don't feel so sleepy because it's a light.
Yeah.
Sun is shining, so why sleep?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the brain adapts easier.
Yeah.
The darkness is tough.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because you can see that it's still daytime, so it's not time.
No.
But if it's really pitch dark, then you feel like, oh, I have to go to sleep now.
Yeah, and then you start stumbling and
seeing
things.
Yeah.
And that's part of the fun of nighttime running, but not so up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could go back there and do that race. That was really fun.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best ones in Finland for sure.
Absolutely.
You selected the right one.
Yeah,
that's because everybody says that's the, if not the best, at least on top three in Finland, that trail.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoyed that thoroughly.
Yeah. We also have at the end of May, Nats Karhunkierros, the bear trail in Kuusamo, which is a little bit more south, but also in the north.
Okay.
So I have done that one too, 100 miler. They have more than 2,000, I think close to 3,000 runners.
Wow.
But not, of course, most of them are running less than 100 miles, but
yeah.
They have many distances. But
okay.
That one might be interesting for you. But in May, it could even have some snow still.
I think I've seen footage of that in the snow.
Yeah, I think 2017, they had really lots of snow.
Oh my gosh.
So you can hardly run at all.
Crazy.
Some people were still, I wasn't there, but some people were trying to run in shorts and the snow was up to the shorts.
That's incredible.
It wasn't easy.
Too much.
Yeah, too much.
Wow.
But when I did it, there was only just a little bit of snow and not on the trail.
And lots of light by then too, right? It's pretty bright.
Pretty bright. Yeah, it's
and just a little dark.
I think somebody even saw a real bear on the trail, but it was at night, and people said that no, it was probably just an hallucination or something. But no, it was a real bear because I was running away from it, and I think it was following me or something, and. I'm pretty sure I wasn't dreaming. Because normally bears, you don't see any bears in Finland because they are afraid of hunters.
Oh.
Or some, they don't like people.
Yep.
Because they have learned to stay away.
Mm.
But in like in California, the bears, you could see bears by the trail when you are running, and they are not afraid of humans. They just, like in western states, there were there are usually lots of black bears.
Mm.
And they're just, doing their thing, and they don't. And also Tahoe 200, they have lots of bears.
Wow.
I saw, during Tahoe 200, I actually saw one bear, but they didn't do anything.
Huh.
Just looking at my backpack, because I was eating something, and I just...
Oh.
Quickly put it away and continued my race.
Yeah.
But luckily it didn't follow me.
Yeah.
When I went to the aid station, I told them about the bear, and they said, "Did it follow you? Is it coming here?"
Yeah. Said,
no, don't worry. I'm sure it didn't follow me.
That's funny. Yeah, we have bears up in Washington too, but they're
very
shy.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Black bears mainly.
Ah, yeah. Also black, but like in Alaska, they have these really dangerous bears, like
brown bears and grizzlies. Yeah,
grizzlies are the bears. Yeah, they're more aggressive sometimes.
Yes, it's in all my years of hiking, I've very rarely seen any bears up in Washington.
Yeah,
they're very shy. And we also have mountain lions up there, cougars.
Yeah.
But they're also very shy. So you almost never see them.
Yeah. They don't usually run with runners.
No, it's
They will go
rare.
Away or
yeah.
Stay away.
They do on occasion chase people, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
Very rare.
Like I think in California they have a few mountain lions too, but I don't know anyone who has actually seeing them during the race or
yeah.
it's really rare to see them.
I just saw my friend Rich posted on Strava. He was up mountain biking near Seattle, and he was coming up a road grade, and he almost went between a deer and a cougar that was coming towards the deer, and that was just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But otherwise it's pretty rare. You'll see them, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
But you think about them. If you're running at night, you think,
they're following me.
Or...
Yeah. I'm a little bit afraid of them.
Me too.
I still, when there's a noise or something, hear something, I'm always thinking maybe it's an animal.
Yes.
But usually it's nothing.
Yeah. And you turn with your headlamp and you see some eyes, but then it's just a deer or something. But
yeah.
Your heart is pounding.
Or raccoon or something like.
Yeah.
Once I was in Tahoe 200, I was sleeping and I woke up, there was some animal, and then it was a raccoon.
Oh.
It was maybe checking out my backpack because I was sleeping outside,
by the trail. Dirt nap.
Yeah.
Oh, classic but, dirt nap.
They are not dangerous, aren't they? No.
Nope. Yes, lots of dirt naps. That's the only way to survive 100, typically, especially with the nighttime.
How about here in Finland? Have you seen any other animals than mosquitoes?
I've seen foxes.
Yeah.
And foxes and deer, a few out near Vuosaari.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're pretty active out there.
Yeah, like Vuosaari is really nice. Rustila by the seaside, nice trail. Yeah. There are some animals there, I'm sure. And birds, of course.
Oh, yeah, plenty. Lots of rabbits.
Yeah.
And deer.
Yeah.
Lots of deer running around.
By the way, I saw an owl today when I was... Ooh. I was running here. I almost was late because I was checking out what kind of owl is that.
Oh.
But it was flying by me, and then it was sitting on a tree. But the tree was so high that I could hardly see what kind of. I think maybe it was a falcon owl or something.
Oh.
Huh. Or what do you call it in? English anyway, some sort of owl.
Very neat.
So I think it was falcon owl because it was daytime. Mm. So they hunt, they are the only owl that hunts daytime.
Oh, okay.
All the other owls, they hunt at night.
I had a close call with an owl on a 100-mile race in near Seattle called the Lumberjack 100.
Ah.
And I was running alone, I think it was sometime like 3 a.m, and one flew right by my head. I had longer hair then, and I think I had my hair up in a bun. It probably thought I had a tail on my head or something.
Really?
It scared me. I looked around and grabbed the biggest stick I could find and then ran the rest of the night with a big stick. It's amazing what gets you scared when you're all alone in the dark.
About about the races, what other races have you done on the West Coast?
A few other, I've probably done.
Not any famous races?
No. We have a really nice 100-miler also near Seattle called the Cascade Crest 100.
Okay.
It's actually technically called the Cascade Crest Classic 100.
Okay.
It's a really nice trail race. I've run that 3 times, I think, now.
What makes it nice?
Oh, it's just beautiful terrain.
Is it sea view or mountain?
It's all mountains.
Oh.
Part of it has a long tunnel that you have to run through, an old train tunnel.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's 2.25 miles long.
in the dark tunnel.
Yeah.
But there are no trains anymore.
No. There's no lights. All you have is your headlamp. And it's dark anyway, so you go into the tunnel in the dark, and then what little light you see at one end, you can't see because it's curved, so.
But why in the USA you have so tight cutoff times? Like Western States was 30 hours, and I was like 29, and half hours was my time. So it's really tough. I just can barely make it.
Yeah.
And also the 200 milers are usually 100 hours only.
Yeah.
Like Tour de Géant is 150 hours.
Yeah.
Why don't you have 150 hours also?
I could sure use some more time. I should start a petition.
More time,
please.
They should have extra time if you are willing to pay more. That's
or if
business idea for Candice Bird, if you are listening.
Yeah.
Sell me 50 hours more, I will pay for it. I will pay anything.
Yeah. Or, you know, above age 40, you should get some benefits, right?
Yeah.
Because statistically, you're going to get slower. So above 40, you should get some extra time. And then above 50, you should get more.
Yeah.
Why not?
So, like in Western states, they have, you get the silver belt buckle for 24 hours.
Oh, yeah,
So, but then the bronze one for 30 hours. But they could have maybe a plastic one for 40 hours.
You still finish.
But yeah. You get this nice plastic belt buckle.
Yeah. Lots of races have an early start option in the States. So like you can start an hour early.
Yeah. That's a good idea also.
But I don't know if that official time, and I can't remember how that works, but I know you can do an early start on many races.
Yeah, because why should take care of it? It's not an extra cost for them.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to organize.
Yeah. It just gives more people the opportunity to
run
a race.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because none of us is getting any younger and we're slowing down.
Yep.
Not that you are old like me, but you are very young still. But anyway.
A young 50-ish. Yeah.
Well, like I said, you look like 35, so.
Well, let's hope that continues.
Some people just don't get old.
Yeah, well, maybe my bones will be older when my face catches up. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe when you start getting younger, who knows?
Yeah.
But
So other races, almost all the races I've never really run out of state, so it's all sort of up in the Northwest in Washington. We have a lot of different races though. There's a one east of the mountains called Badger Mountain 100, Badger Mountain Endurance Runs. It's a great race. That was my first 100.
Yeah.
I think I've run that like three times. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's east of the mountains, it's in March. I think I'm probably gonna have to sign up for something there this year too, or 2024, just to start the training cycle going
and push
for something. But that's another really good one.
Yeah.
And then also on the schedule is this Plain 100 race, which is always tough. There's no course markings, but the course is always the same. You get actually written directions that you can follow.
Oh, that kind of race.
Yeah, it's fun. There's a couple of, I think there's maybe three search and rescue stations that come and you give them your number and they track you through. But they can't tell you any directions.
Yeah,
they can't tell you if you're going the right way or the wrong way or anything.
Yeah. Have you done any, by the way, any Hash House Harriers? Do you know Triple H, Hash House Harriers?
I don't think so.
Have you heard about them?
No.
I did some of those. They are not races, they are like kind of secret events in San Francisco Bay area.
Oh, okay.
I was invited to do some, but it's different kind of running. It's usually on city streets, and one of runners is a hare, and the others are like hunting
Hunting
him or her.
Yeah.
And then she will get away like 5 minutes before, and then we will start hunting, and she makes some hints with a chalk on the ground, that some arrows, and they have some special marking system.
Wow.
And you try to hunt where she's gone, and then it was really complicated, but wow. I was just following the others. It was quite kind of fun, and then it's like a beer club with a running problem or something like that, they call themselves a drinking club with a running problem.
Yeah.
So after the event,
yeah.
we met at the bar, of course.
Uh-huh, I'm sure.
Actually, the drinking part took more time than the running. It was really exciting.
Well, getting together is the big thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was nice getting to know the people there.
Yeah.
Now I know everyone, all the runners.
Nice.
I also joined some running clubs. I'm sure you also have some running clubs where you belong to.
Yeah, there's a Seattle Mountain Runners is one club.
Yeah.
And there's a few of them around. I think I only belong to one of them. But
well, that's enough.
Yeah,
that's enough. Yeah.
I mean, you can always go online and look for running partners if you're looking for somebody to go run the mountains with. So they're really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. We are now here we had some lunch. Would you like to see the Central Park trail?
Sure, sounds great.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll show you.
Okay.
Okay.
Ciao.
Okay, we are here in the Central Park now. Have you been here before?
I'm not sure if I have.
Oh.
Certainly not in the snow.
Yeah.
I brought my snowshoes, as you can see. Pumas, not snowshoes.
But not shorts and sandals and t-shirts.
No, long underwear and wool socks.
Oh, great. I'll show you around a little bit, if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We have really lots of snow. This is the last cold day, and tomorrow, as we discussed, tomorrow will be warmer,
yeah,
like +3 and different kind of weather.
Yes.
But
maybe my hole in the ice will melt too. I made a hole in the ice for the sauna and have a ladder in it.
Oh,
at my parents' place. Vak in Swedish. I don't know what it's called.
Have you been swimming a lot here in Finland? Did you try swimming in the cold seawater?
Yeah, I went 3 times so far.
Oh.
But only with sauna.
Yeah, of course.
Not just for a morning
swim.
Even
with sauna, it's quite a feat.
It's cold. It's like getting into a nice drink at the club, right? You just...
Yeah.
The tinkle of ice. And then back in the sauna.
It makes you feel great, right?
Yes, you feel alive, for sure.
Yeah.
It's like after you finish an ultra run, right? An ultra race.
Yes, exactly.
The things you've overcome, and against all odds, you've made it to the finish, or not.
Yeah,
but you survived another race, and you think, wow, when's the next one?
Yeah, it's a great feeling.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the reasons we love this sport, because the feeling is so nice.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And lots of great experiences,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah, and it's even though people who don't run ultras, they feel like they're very unapproachable, and they're too hard and they're too long, and how could anybody ever do it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't come from much of a running background, but I feel like, you know, I'm a perfect example of just like a regular kind of a person who can figure out how to do it and take care of themselves. And
right.
Look at me. I can run 100 miles.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Yeah,
very
actually.
Very slowly.
I think quite many people could do it.
Oh yeah.
If they wanted to.
Yeah.
Give it a try.
Yep.
It's not. You don't have to be a special.
No.
Runner. Because, as we know, we are using poles and.
Yes.
We are walking up hills and stuff yeah. like that.
Yes.
It's not a secret.
Right. It's like a walker with a running problem, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's downhill. Now I have to run.
Yeah. Oh, damn. It's easy trail and downhill. Now I must yeah. run.
Yes.
No excuse to walk yeah. anymore.
Yeah. Where exactly. are the hills? I need to walk up a hill.
Oh no, do I really have to run?
That's right.
But then when you are bragging afterwards, yeah, I ran a lot.
That's right.
Almost all the time.
Almost. Almost.
Yeah, just a little bit of walking yeah. here and there.
And people always ask, oh, what kind of an average time do you have? Like yeah. 10 minutes per mile? No.
Yeah.
Try like almost 20.
Yeah, like my speed, average speed for Tour de Géant was 2.5 kilometers per hour.
Okay. Yeah. I'd
so that's like most people go faster here in the park
yeah.
when they are walking.
That's right. Did you include your night's sleep and you include all your meals?
Yeah,
and
of course it includes everything because the
oh, yeah.
clock is, time is running all
oh,
the
yeah.
time, but still the average speed is not very high.
No.
It's not very fast.
No.
At all. Because it takes a lot of time to eat and,
yeah.
you know, you have to change gear all the time.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Just when you get your rain gear on, it's the rain will stop.
Yes.
And then yes. it will get really hot.
Yep.
And then you get your shorts changed, and then it will get cold.
Yes. Invariably. That's just what happens.
Yeah, always. The same thing.
Yes. Or often I run in shorts, so you wait to the very last minute until you're very hypothermic, and then you start changing
yeah.
drastically.
Yeah. And then I always forget where I put all the gear.
Oh, yes.
Where did I put those gloves?
Oh.
I'm sure I have them somewhere
yeah.
here, but I can't remember which pocket.
It happens. It happens.
And then at night, if you need a headlamp,
yes.
have you run a lot of it, headlights
yes.
on?
Oh, yes.
It's a totally different experience.
It is, yeah. I mean, yep. I even, I really enjoy running with a waist lamp, actually.
Oh.
Headlamp. Yeah, those are nice.
Oh, you like them?
I do. I like to change back and forth. I don't like it always on my head because it's nice to have a break on my head. But,
yeah.
The waist light's nice, but it doesn't follow where you look, so that
yeah,
can be a little
yeah.
surprising at times.
Obviously not. So you have to turn your belly button.
That's right.
If you want to.
That's right. Yeah.
Direct or light.
Yes. But every time you hear a noise, you don't have to look off into the forest with your light, but then you can't see what you're looking at either, so.
Yeah.
What was that? I can't see anything. Yeah. Yeah, it's different running at night.
So, if you could choose waist light or headlight, which one do you think is better?
Gosh, I don't know. I think a comfortable headlight's probably better.
Yeah.
Sometimes both, or if you're really tired, both are nice to have.
Yeah, maybe you could have both.
Yeah, because it lights it up really well.
Yeah,
so
I guess it depends.
On a spot
yeah.
of light, you can kind of see.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You could see the rocks and
Yes, all the roots and
not fall over so easily because you can see everything.
Yes. And there's somebody running now.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of runners here. Obviously, people run everywhere.
But there's a skier, cross-country skier. Oh, yeah. Yeah, some people run here all the time, but they don't have, they have those street lights, but they turn off at 23 hours, like 11 p.m.
Well, then it's dark.
So I sometimes run here in the darkest. Now, you don't really, in the city, you don't need even a headlamp because it's so, the city lights will... Yeah. And the snow is white, so you can see where you're going.
Yeah, I've noticed that. At night, I look out from where I'm staying, and since the cloud cover's there, the city lights, it's bright.
Yeah, it's very bright.
The moon was out, but it's just bright.
But here on the in the Central Park trails, the lights will go off, but it's okay.
Huh.
They are saving energy.
Yeah, it's good.
And now I don't really need it. And then I have a really good headlight anyway, so it's comfortable, so no problem using it.
Yeah. They get, every year they seem like they get lighter and smaller and more compact and last longer and brighter.
Yeah.
The tech is really good.
Wish my legs were like that too.
Lighter and stronger and
I can see where I'm going, but my legs won't take me there.
<That's right. laughs> that's a common problem.
I would like to try doing Tour de Géant again 2024.
Nice.
But it's not certain that you will get in.
Yeah.
Because there's also a lottery.
Yes, of course.
And
a wait list, I assume, too.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm not sure if they have a wait list because there is a kind of wait list that if somebody who's got in won't pay in time, then they will take somebody else.
Okay.
So they give you something like a couple of weeks or to pay. And if they don't see the money, you are not going to run.
See you, yeah.
And they will also, in Europe, they have this funny requirement of medical certificate.
Oh.
That has to be signed by a real doctor.
What?
Yeah. And you can't just sign it by yourself. You have to go to the doctor, and the doctor has to examine that you are
fit
to run.
Huh.
And doctors usually don't know.
No.
What is required, and they say, "What the hell is this
paper?
You have to sign it, or otherwise I won't be able to run."
Yeah,
and I said, "Okay, I will sign it. Good luck."
Well, Destination Trail, don't they have a medical exam there? Don't they? Don't they check you before you start?
Yeah, they do. They check the. It was very simple. No. They just
listen to your heart.
Do you have any problems? Oh. I said no. Are you feeling okay? I said yeah.
Oh, that's it. Huh?
Let's go. they used to have in Western states that they would weigh you.
Oh yeah.
They would take how much you weigh before the start and then during the race, and if you was too light. You had to drink more until you reached a certain weight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
But then they determined that actually that could be dangerous. because
to rehydrate that fast.
Yeah, so right. It's better to just go by the if the person is feeling okay.
Yeah.
Then let them run, uh-huh. And if they're feeling bad, they will come and tell the doctor that they're feeling bad. Then that's the better way.
Okay.
Than trying to measure. Some people, they lose a lot of weight by sweating, and then they are a lot lighter, they still feel okay.
Especially Western states, it tends to be a hot run.
Yeah, really hot.
Temperatures, you know, 30 degrees.
Yeah, more than that, because when I did Western states in 2019,
okay,
it was 35, and they said that, luckily, it's such a cold year.
What?
Yeah. They said it was the coldest. It has never been so cold, 35. And I was like, well, 25 would be okay for me.
Yeah. That's plenty hot when you're running.
Yeah. Like in Helsinki here in Finland, 25... If it's more than 25, it's considered dangerous heat.
Yeah.
They are giving warnings. No, there's a heat wave. Yeah. 26.
Stay inside.
Yeah. Don't go out running. But
that's amazing.
In California, it's like, there's a cold period, cold weather coming. 28.
Yeah. Don't really go outside.
Put on your winter jacket.
Another interesting thing they do in the States too, at least in the Seattle area with races, is that they require you to do 8 hours of volunteer work on trails.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool.
I did that in Finland. And then just in Western states, they even require a paper signed by the race director that you have done it, actually.
Nice.
But like in Tahoe 200, they said that they just require that you have done it, but they are not checking.
Oh, okay.
They don't have time to check.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, but, like at Cascade Crest 100, they do that. They required trail work, and you know, you get it signed off somewhere, and then recently you've been able to buy your way out of it, apparently.
Uh-huh.
I haven't run it in a few years, but I heard that that's an option now too, because it goes, you know, I think you donate, I don't know what the amount is, but to like the Pacific Crest Trail Association or whatever, which is that trail that runs Mexico to Canada along the Cascades.
Yeah.
So there's an association that's surrounding that, so it's just, that's a great place to put some volunteer money and effort too.
Yeah. Money works wonders too.
It's true.
Just I haven't done any trail work, but here's a 50 for you. Okay. But
yeah, some races don't require anything, but like that Plain 100 race, they don't require anything because all the money goes to right back to search and rescue. But
yeah,
we always go out there every year with chainsaws and clear the trail. It's really fun.
Yeah.
That's almost as much fun as running the race.
Yeah, but those medical certificates, they drive people crazy here, because doctors, they don't understand what's going on, and they are afraid to sign, but because it's just law in France and Italy and Spain, there's a law that requires them to must have, even if you run a marathon in Paris, like I did Paris Marathon, I had to have a medical certificate, although I had done 100 mile races without a problem. But then I wanted to run just a normal marathon.
Yeah.
I needed a medical certificate.
What?
So that I'm fit to run a marathon, even if it's a 10K.
Wow.
There's some sort of law that if they just cannot give you the number before before they have seen your certificate.
Wow.
It's a kind of like a bureaucracy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's because the doctor won't be able to tell in what kind of shape you will be on race day.
No, it's not like they give you a stress EKG or anything. So
But
doesn't make much sense.
Some, of course, they could examine your heart or something that you are not likely to have a heart failure during the race.
Like that's, you have some irregular heart.
If you have some heart disease or something, I understand that. But otherwise, it's very difficult to say who's gonna be okay on race day.
For sure.
You should just, but it's a kind of stupid law they have. And I'm doing lots of those races, so every race has a different kind of form you have to fill in.
Yes.
So
yes.
The same form, of course, it doesn't apply for another race.
No.
So for all the races I'm doing, I need a different medical certificate.
That's true. like that online registration service, Ultra Sign Up in the States, like they should have some blanket form. I mean, they all run through like Ultra Sign Up typically, so why not?
And all the International Trail Running Association, they should have some form that applies for all the races and it should be enough to have it done once, and then you could use it everywhere.
But
now all the races have a different, and they said only this form will guarantee that you will. Even if you have paid all the money and you show up, and they said no, you don't have medical certificate.
Yeah, that would be simple.
Yeah.
Much simpler. Before my first 100, my wife made me go get a medical exam. She was the law then. She said, okay, you do this, first you get an exam.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that kind of, I understand that very well.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because women rule the world.
Yes.
They're smarter than men.
Oh,
so.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Of course.
And I survived, so this is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a great park.
Yeah, it's so nice. We just went under the train tracks, and there are so many trails here, and it's a long park.
Yeah.
It's a 10K that way. You can run 10 kilometers.
Wow.
That can. There are lots of trails all around, so this is just this is almost like a road we are walking now, because this is plowed and this is easy to walk. But in the forest, I often take those trails like this one here,
and it's
they have a little bit hills and and really really nice forests. And you can see, like you said, some animals there, and it's lots of deer and foxes and hares, and it's nice, really nice.
A little brush with nature in the middle of the city.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love how Finland is so connected to nature in a lot of ways.
It
is so much.
Do you think it's more connected to nature than where you live?
I feel like it is. Like, it seems more pervasive in, I don't know, in design especially, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think where I live, a lot of people have activities that bring them out into nature, but I don't know. It seems more Finnish to be, just everything seems to is pervasive through all of Finland and all of Finnish society, sort of nature-based somehow.
Yeah. It's such a big country, and only 5 million people, so
I
it's understandable that there's a lot of nature.
Yeah.
Relatively large land area.
For sure.
And sea, some sea area too, and archipelago and...
Yes. Tens of thousands of little islands.
Yeah, lots of islands and lots of lakes and lots of forests.
Yes.
But no mountains, really.
No.
I wish we had some couple of 3,000 meter mountains here in Helsinki. Just for my personal preference.
That's right.
But would be a lot easier to train.
Yes.
Now we have to go to Malminkartano Garbage Hill, which is filled with construction garbage or something like that, and artificial hill, which is the highest point of Helsinki, actually.
Is that where I see you train a lot?
Yeah, yeah. We call it the Garbage Hill, but that's not the official name, but...
No, right.
It's like something like 90 meters above sea level.
Okay.
So that's the highest mountain.
So that's still a hill, right?
Yeah. Like, I once did it 100 times up and down, so I got the same amount of elevation like in those 100 mile races, like 6,600 meters elevation gain.
Yeah, that's significant.
But it's so boring to do it 100 times.
Yeah, for sure.
Or even 50 times, it's really boring.
Oh yeah. Do you go up there in winter too?
Yeah, we just went there with Juuso Simpanen, one of the best runners in Finland, had an Everesting challenge.
Oh,
so I did
the garbage hill.
Only 1,000 meters and he did 6,000. But there was one guy did 8,840 meters or whatever the Everest is.
Oh my goodness.
So that's...
Wow.
The guy started on Saturday, and then I came there Sunday midday, and he was still doing it. And I got tired, and I went home, and then when I was eating at home, I saw that, now I have done Mount Everest.
Wow.
So, Sunday evening.
That's impressive.
So,
yeah.
So like...
That's a whole weekend effort.
Yeah, whole weekend there doing the garbage hill up and down.
All night?
Yeah, all night, alone.
Jeez.
I think he had some crewing.
Okay.
Some friends to help. He said that he probably wouldn't have survived before.
Oh my goodness, no.
If his friends wouldn't have shown up and...
Yeah.
Brought some food and clothes because he was all wet and tired and he didn't have anything to eat or drink, and he was all alone there.
That's too much.
Everybody went home. But
wow, that's impressive.
Yeah,
absolutely impressive and a little bit insane.
Yeah This is a pet cemetery.
Oh, okay.
For little pets.
Aww.
And
so a scary place at night.
Yeah. Very, very scary. But not for me because I'm so used to running here. This is my route to work and back.
It's nice.
Usually this way.
Nice.
So I often if I have time I like to take a little, around.
Yeah.
I don't go the shortest route.
Nice. Get a little bit.
But this is the sort of like a shortest way to my home.
Okay.
But it's nice to run around here.
Yeah.
As you can see, the road is very close.
Yes.
and you can easily also catch, if you get tired, you can take a bus or tram or train. So sometimes I just start in the summertime, I just go, I don't have any plan, I just go running and I just take a bus or train home if I get tired.
Nice.
So perfect. It doesn't matter, you can run anywhere, get lost or do whatever you like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's so good, the public transportation is so good that you will always find your way home somehow.
Everywhere.
Yeah. As long as you have some money and it's okay, you will be okay. But not in the in many countries, it's not like that.
It's your thumb and a ride from somebody passing by, if you're lucky.
Yeah. Hitchhiking.
If you dare. Right?
Yeah,
you never know who's going to pick you up.
Yeah, we're going now to Uunisaari with Joakim. Oven Island in English. There is a restaurant, maybe the oven is in the restaurant. I don't know.
Maybe they're cooking something good.
Yeah, yeah. And you can actually also walk to the other island there where there's this some sort of sailboat community house.
Okay.
We were talking about how it's funny that the evolution of trail running has now went above 160 kilometers.
Yes, and I still haven't made the mental leap. I'm gonna have to. I've talked to a bunch of friends who have run 200s, like my friend Phil's run.
Yeah.
He ran. He's running Tahoe next year.
Okay.
He canceled from this year, but.
Oh yeah. I remember.
And he's run Moab, and he's run Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah. You were talking about him earlier.
And he says, "Don't worry about it. You can just hike the whole thing." And I was like,
"Yeah."
But still, it's so far.
Yeah, that's the idea that it's very uncertain what will happen.
Yes.
Because it's such a long way. So why worry about it? Because.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Now, careful, it's slippery.
Yeah.
So, about 20 years or even 10 years ago, people were saying that 100 miles is the maximum you can do, and even that is too crazy for most.
Sure.
And now we have 200 mile races all over.
Yeah.
And even longer, 300 miles.
Yeah.
Like 300 to 500 kilometers is now quite common.
It's insane, yeah. Well, like those big backyard races, you know, people end up running like crazy amounts. Like more than 200.
Yeah. More than like 100 times 6.7 kilometers.
Yeah.
So that's 670 kilometers.
Yeah.
And then couple of laps more.
Yeah.
That's great. I don't understand.
I don't either.
Even for me, it's impossible to understand without sleeping. And
I know.
Or maybe they can take a little nap, but they can't really sleep.
No.
That's
because you have
great.
To start the lap at a certain time, right?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they sleep while running.
I've tried, it does not work well.
Me too. I actually have tried it, but it's very dangerous.
Yes. It's like you're drunk.
Yeah. This is the name of the island. Uunisaari.
Nice.
There are some nice places here. I don't know if the restaurant is open,
was
but...
Was it like a brick factory or something back long ago, or no? Who knows? I don't know the history.
I don't know. But I found this... I like islands, I guess.
Yes.
Yes.
I love islands.
But if you have kids, you have to watch them all the time, right. Of course, but...
But they can only go so far, right?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, so it's that whole thing of how to, you know, I've completed some 100-mile races, but then I thought I needed to try the next level, right? It's like...
Yeah, 200 miles.
When I ran a 50K, I thought, well, I got to sign up. Maybe I can try a 50-mile race now.
So a Bigfoot is 205 miles, so
yeah,
2009
like
or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yep.
It's a little over.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, extra. Yeah. You get extra for the same money.
And if there's a lot of logs across the trail, you get more elevation, too, from climbing yeah. up and down and up and down.
Yeah.
Up and down. Oy,
oy. Oops.
Slippery.
For, yeah. That's yeah. a good deal. Good deal.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I decided that it's worth trying, for sure.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, then fine.
Yeah, it's... It's no big deal. I mean, even if you manage to run just half, you have still run 100 miles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah,
it's...
Yeah.
Why complain?
Yeah,
it's,
no complaints.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you said, why worry about it?
Yeah, yeah.
Try to be injury-free. Like, before Nuts Ilas Palas, I injured my calf.
Yeah,
like two
yeah.
months before. And so I didn't get a lot of volume in 2 months
yeah,
before.
Yeah, I remember.
But I thought, well, I'm still going. Why not?
There's a nice view up there, but it's very, very icy and slippery. So
I can put spikes on.
Let's go there.
Yeah, of course.
It's very dangerous, so let's go there.
For sure. Look at that, open sea.
Yeah.
Was this ice covered before it got warm?
No, no.
It was open.
It takes a little bit more time here.
Okay.
And there are a lot of boats going, so...
Wow. Out to sea.
Woo!
So nice. Okay.
Whoa.
I think I might have some there. Not as much as you, but I'll have more.
Can you... Let's try it. This is a tricky part, but then...
Oh, that feels pretty good. That
yeah.
It feels a lot better. It didn't feel so good before. Oh yeah, big difference. See, now I've got some heel lift, too.
Mm, yes.
We're talking zero drop versus not zero drop. I've got a little heel
oh, lift. Oh yeah, those are those.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to try a shoe with a little bit of heel lift.
Yeah, I don't like zero.
I ran in a Hoka, a couple of shoes, and that was pretty good.
Yeah. When I was younger, I ran even in sometimes in sandals with
oh, yeah.
just zero drop sandals,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I was fine. But now when I'm older, I don't like them anymore.
I did try the I have a pair of Luna sandals at home.
So oh, you do?
Same thing, the flat ones.
Yeah.
I did try to run a little bit of them, and I had a calf problem when I did that, too.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe I need a no zero drop.
I think it takes something like 2 years to get used
I'm
to them.
Sure. I'm
like,
sure.
It's such a different way of running.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's good for your feet or whatever, but... First, it feels awful
yeah.
when you start. It's no.
Lots of stress.
It's not easy. I have tried barefoot running also,
have
but
you?
I maybe a couple of kilometers and
yeah.
then I stopped. And there might be glass or something on the ground.
Yeah. It's pretty frozen here.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so then what do you want to talk about nutrition while running?
Yeah, yeah. Or the, nutrition, how to get energy during ultra.
Yeah.
That's a big mystery to me, because
yes,
it's easy to eat when you are not running, but when you are running hundreds of kilometers or
yes,
miles, it's not so easy.
No. I remember in the beginning I used to do a lot of gels, and then I tried to do more more regular food.
Yeah.
Smaller amounts, but more like real food.
Yeah. Everybody starts with gels.
I know.
And then they, I better look for something else.
Yeah.
I don't like them anymore.
Yeah, you have too many gels.
Yeah.
It's no good. You get the gel belly.
Yes.
I've supplemented a little bit with like energy drinks like Tailwind. That seems to go okay.
Yeah, me too. I always have some Tailwind at home.
Nice.
But I'm not always using it, but it's like in Bigfoot and Tahoe, they have Tailwind.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So you should take it.
Yeah.
They give it for free, so
yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah, paid for it already, so.
What was the other topic we were supposed to talk about? Taking naps.
Yes, sleeping. Yeah.
Sleeping on the trail, dirt naps.
Yeah, that becomes much more important on a long one.
Yeah.
Essential.
I've learned to like them a lot. I have never done them before, but now with 200 milers, you have to learn to do them.
It seems like you almost need to force yourself regularly to take these naps.
Yeah.
Before they just become debilitating, right?
And you could even have a bivy back with you, because those 100 gram, very lightweight bivy backs, and sleep inside, like in Lapland, you can go inside the back and hide from mosquitoes and.
Yes.
Take a 10-minute nap inside anywhere.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do.
Nice.
Or even 5 minutes is sometimes enough.
Yeah.
To keep you going.
Stop you from being dizzy.
Yeah. If you are really, really dizzy, you should sleep, because.
Yeah. Before you get hurt.
Because you don't know what you are doing anymore after some time.
Nope.
You are like. In big trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, is it required kit? Was it required kit for Tahoe to have a bivy, emergency bivy, or no?
They gave us an emergency bivy, but it was optional.
Oh, okay.
You could also have a space blanket, I think, this time. But, they gave us a free bivy anyway, so I have I didn't use it this year, so I have it at home.
Oh, nice. Yep.
So I will use it for some other race.
Yeah, they're quite small. I mean,
but first time when I went to Tahoe, it's very small.
Yeah.
And it lightweight.
Yeah.
And when I did Tahoe in 2022, I slept inside it many times, many times.
Yes.
And they were worried. They sent, when I had the DNF, I was pretty close to the finish line.
Were you?
But I was sleeping on a rock with a couple of mountain climbers or something. and I wasn't on the route anymore. I was a little bit off, and they were worried, but why I wasn't moving, and I was there. So they sent a couple of people to check on me, and they were shouting, "Oh, Jukka, where are you?" And, "Oh, I'm okay. I'm here sleeping."
Quiet, I'm sleeping.
Yeah. Here's the restaurant. Would you? Is it? I think it's open.
Yeah, that park is incredible. It really was.
Yeah.
I looked on the map and you're right, it's huge.
Yeah, I love running there. It's nice.
Do they have any running events in there?
Yeah, I just did one in November.
Oh, yeah?
Like a 24-kilometer trail run.
Cool.
And it wasn't easy because they chose all the most difficult routes.
Of course.
And there was some elevation gain as well, although there are no big hills, but lots of small.
Yeah,
they designed the route so that you had to climb all the little hills.
Maximize all the hills.
They took everything out of it, so it was. The 24k took me something like 3 hours.
Nice.
But it was really nice, yeah. So here we are in Maunula Maya. It's so nice.
Mm.
Having some glögi. Cheers.
Kippis.